Thank you. I'm not wearing that little thing anymore.
No.
That is so awesome. Good afternoon. How you guys doing? You getting a lot out of this seminar? I hope so. This continuing education should always have some kind of knowledge that you can take forth and actually utilize and apply for your own benefit. It's my first PowerPoint, so I have to do the basics, like introduce yourself. My name again is William Ackley. Friends of mine call me Bill. When I'm on the boats as a captain, I just say, my name's Bill. I don't care about my title. Everybody on board knows who I am, and we get the job done. That's how we run the boats out there. At least I do. Got a couple questions before we proceed. How many of you use the federal regulations on a daily basis? Okay, just a handful. How many of you guys, ladies, inspect or survey inspected vessels? Why? Are you afraid of them?
Yes.
It's a good answer. You should be. There's a lot of regs to the different types of vessels that are out there. These boats that I'm showing you have actually run, operated. These are small, comparatively speaking, to what you've run. But the MPSV, construction vessel, MP stands for multi-purpose supply vessel. It does stuff in the Gulf of Mexico, which means it'll work on the bottom using ROVs and other equipment. The job I was working on with this boat, we were putting a flare boom on a brand new drill ship. Really, really interesting work. That vessel, specific vessel, is Z-Drive. Anybody not familiar with Z-Drives? Okay, Z-Drives are, I gotta put this down, I'm gonna be messing up. Z-Drives basically are little outboard pods on the bottom of the boat. They spin 360 degrees all the way around. And it's really neat because you can turn a boat easier than I can turn the page. 90 degrees, that boat within its length. 180 degrees, about the same, depending on your speed. Maneuverability with Z-Drives is awesome. This is a standard supply vessel over on the right-hand picture. It has various features. It has things that you can't see, like the tanks and down below. Generally, this boat has four sets, port and starboard, of mud tanks. And what we do is we take mud, or a product that helps hold as you're drilling a well, the product down from coming out of the hole. It also has dry bulk capabilities, meaning you can take barite, which is a powdered form of mud, cement, gel, out to the rig. And what we do is we have a compressor, cargo compressor, that we pressurize the P tank, and it discharges into the rig. It's kind of neat. You're sitting there on a hose. And oh yeah, these boats have a feature called DP, dynamic positioning. An oversimplification of the system is you push a button and the boat stays. It's awesome. The Z drives will hold better in foul weather just because of the nature of the drive systems. Conventional drives like the one on the right will move around sometimes as much as 3 meters. 9 feet. Now, if you're attached to the rig by a hose, you get nervous when it starts moving even a half a meter. But again, you get used to it. But what we'll do is we'll take the supply boat on the right, we'll go out and we'll service the rigs. We'll give them fuel, sometimes as much as 120 gallons, depending on the size of the boat and the capabilities. But we'll transfer fuel, we'll transfer bulk products, we'll transfer mud products, and anything on the deck that they need to drill a hole. Basically, we're a big tractor trailer. And we take everything that you need to drill a well from shore base out to the thing, out to the rig, as you see over there. And when we're out there, we're up close and personal to the rig itself. If you take a look at how wonderful this is, this picture was taken on a very, very pristine day. You pray for this every day. I know I did my last hitch in December. I missed Christmas. I was working. I missed New Year's. I was working. We had 7 cold fronts come through in 3 weeks. Wind speeds were anywhere from 30 to 50 knots. Sea conditions were 12 to about 17 foot. When it gets really bad, we don't work. But again, you're looking for ideal conditions like this. These two class of boats, they're 280 foot. They're by Edison Schwess offshore. I have operated. And can you give me a master's degree in trying to figure out how to use this? Anyway, again, this is another Hornbeck offshore. They're different types, different owners, if you will, of these boats. They do the same thing. These boats don't carry as much bulk or liquid product, just from their design. I asked you the questions earlier, specifically for why don't you guys survey inspected vessels? These are the different types, and most of you guys are telling me that you're doing subchapter C vessels. Subchapter C is nothing but an uninspected passenger vessel. How many people understand that a vessel over 65 foot can do a 12-pack instead of just a 6-pack? You need special safety equipment for it, but you can do that. How many people knew that? Okay, so you can take something away from here. You learn something. If you apply these regs to your day-to-day operation, they're not as scary. From what I was gathering, I was kind of worried about my presentation because everyone here is professional in what you do. And I'm sitting there going, will I have anything to offer? And I hope I am, by saying, you pick up these regs. Do you know who writes these regs? A lot of them? ABYC. ABS. Anybody here not a member of ABYC? So you all are members, right? I like this for you asking. Okay, good. Making sure I haven't put you to sleep yet. ABS is a little bit different because they set the classifications for the different types of vessels. May not pertain to what you guys want to do. But if you open up these regs and start reading, you have your subchapter C, T, H, K, and M vessels. Well, what the hell does that mean? Well, if you turn to the appropriate chapter or subchapter, it'll explain. Let's see what I got in just a minute. My suggestion, or what I'm trying to bring here for you guys, is to expand your business. How many people have more business than what they can handle? We got 3 people that are going, okay, 4 people are going, yeah, I'm done. That's all I can do. That's great. For the rest of us, pay attention. Here's what you can do, new construction. We had one speaker talk about, I am here as a liaison between the owner and the boat builder. And a lot of times, he doesn't have any advocate in the boat building process. The owner doesn't have anybody there. So what does a boat builder do? They have a tendency of what, cutting corners? Okay, you don't have to be there every single day, but you should be there on a scheduled basis, and you can sell your services that way. All you have to do is know what you're looking at, How many people go onto a boat and say, gee, I can't believe they did this? Every single boat that I have been on, you go, holy crap. If only somebody had been there during the construction, they could have corrected this. That's in part or an aspect that you guys might not have thought about. How much does this cost? We don't know. This is something you'd have to determine of what your time's worth. Depends on how far away the builder is. Depends on how heavy your workload is. Then you have your, I can't read that far away, so I'm standing over here. Then you have your inspected vessels. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. And your inspected vessels go through an annual inspection every year. That's why they call it annually. Most of your operators, mom and pop shops, single vessels that are operating inspected vessels, don't always know what to expect when it comes to inspection. Did you know for every category of vessel, there's an inspection booklet that the Coast Guard has? And they will share that with you if you ask them. It's like, hey, got anything on a T-boat, H-boat, K-boat? What are you looking for? What do I need to prove for you? What do you specifically look at? And they'd be thrilled to give that knowledge to you. I was hired onto a vessel that we went from an H, which was over 100 gross ton. It was a 500 ton boat. The manning requirements made it almost impossible to work. The owner said, hey, no problem. We'll put tonnage bulkheads in. Okay, if I'm speaking in terminology that you guys don't understand, stop me, ask me. This is your turn to learn. This is my turn to help you understand what I'm talking about and how you can expand your business. A tonnage bulkhead is basically you take a space that is part of the measurement, which is nothing but the interspace measurement of the vessel. You cut a huge plate out of the wall, and then you hang that piece of metal that you've taken out back in place, but it's removable while underway. And what that does is now it makes it no longer part of the measurement, and it drastically reduces the gross tonnage of the vessel. It has nothing to do with the displacement. It's just the air measurement inside. And we took that vessel from an H boat to a K boat. And the difference between a T, H, and K is the amount of people that you're allowed to handle and what tonnage it is. T boat.
You're changing the volume measurement?
Mm-hmm. That's all you're doing. You're not changing the weight, you're just changing the measurement of the vessel. The volume, air volume. Because once you put a tonnage bulkhead in it, it no longer is considered a space as part of that measurement. Check with a naval architect. You have a buddy that runs a casino boat out of Port Canaveral, and you said it's over 1,600 gross ton. You know the first question I had? Why don't they put tonnage bulkheads in? Reduce it underneath. How long is it? How much? You can bring that boat underneath 500 gross ton, your manning requirements change. When I say manning, it means the amount of people that's required to operate the vessel. And if you can reduce that, it also reduces the amount of cost it is to get licensed individuals to work it every day. Now, keeping on track over here, if you're working with inspected vessels and you're working with the mom and pop shops that don't know the regs readily, these regs are not hard or difficult to read or to understand if you read them like 10 or 15 times. Because if you omit one word, it changes everything. So when you read the reg, read it again, read it again, read it again. So make sure you understand and have the same knowledge every time you read it. but it's not foreign to you. And you can come in, you can actually help these people out. And you're doing a consulting fee. And doesn't take all day, doesn't take all week. The hardest part is to understand this reg. Now, the outdated COI, when I became the master on the Escapade Casino, which was a casino boat run out of Fernandina Beach, Florida, I got onto it. It was a year and a half into its construction, I should say resurrection. It had sit at the dock for 5 years. COI was no longer in effect. The first thing you have to do with an inspected vessel that has had that issue, now you need to bring it up to current regulations, which sucks. And they also did the tonnage change. Oh, did I tell you they didn't do this with approved drawings? They just went in and said, let's do this, let's do this, let's do this. And the Coast Guard's going, I forget this. They weren't visiting us. And I noticed I had been working there for 2 weeks. It's like, when's the Coast Guard coming? And the guy that was, I was hired in to be the master, but don't get in the way of the construction guys. I call them my Southeast Georgia contingent because they did a lot of work, didn't do anything, and pissed the Coast Guard off to the place that they literally stopped coming. So I asked permission from the owner, let me go down and talk to the Coast Guard, find out what they need. And I introduced myself, and I got this really cold reception. It's like, who are you to come into our office? I was like, look, it's been a year and a half of this project that should have only taken maybe 6 months, 3 to 6 months. I was like, what do you need? He comes out. Here's these 20 pages. I've been asking for this information for the last year and a half. So you understand what I was up against. You got a pissed off authority that's going to give you all your paperwork. Now they're going to make me earn it. And I did. After the project was done, and it took me 7 months to do it, I had to redo half the stuff that these Southeast Georgia contingent did to the boat. I had to make sure that the drawings were done. Everything was straightened out. And the Coast Guard was very, very happy with me. My last inspection before I got my COI was conducted 100% in the bow tunnel room. We had some welding that needed to be done. And in Jacksonville, Florida area, if you're not familiar with that area, there are two Navy bases, sub base, and then there's surface base in Jacksonville. And they have some very, very talented militarily trained individuals. I had a hull technician. And when I say this man could weld, that's an understatement. The last part that the inspector wanted to see was the tank lid repaired. Well, we had it repaired. We painted it. It just had a primer on it. It looked like Red Hand. You guys familiar with Red Hand? It's a putty. And you're not supposed to use it, especially on tanks, especially if they say you need to fix this. He sticks his head in, and I started getting my ass chewed out. I was like, what? And I stopped the guy. I said, what are you doing? He said, this is Red Hand. I said, no. I said, you get on the other side of that bulkhead. You stick your head down that hole, and you tell me what happened. He comes up. He goes, who did this? I said, a hull technician. I said, you asked me to do this boat. The first priority in my line of business, I protect my license. He said, is all your work like this? I said, yeah. He has his list. Did you do such and such? Yes. Did you do this? Did you do this? I'm going, yeah. You wouldn't be here otherwise. He goes, I have to ask you these. He goes, okay, let's quit your COI. You have to work with these individuals as you want to be treated, and treat them as you want to be treated, and they'll treat you kindly. Now, regulation changes. If you're not doing any kind of consulting work or working with the inspected vessels, you're probably not aware of a major change for towing vessels. They're now needing what's known as Subchapter M. Subchapter M deals specifically with towing vessels, which are now required to have a COI before they can operate. We'll touch on that in just a minute. Moving on, if I can figure out. All right. Subchapter C. Basically, I cut and pasted all my work here. It's just basically how the regs read for this subchapter. It is specifically for uninspected pass-through vessels. I took this out. They still talk about KPOC life preservers to show you how antiquated and how often this thing doesn't change. When's the last time you guys surveyed a boat and actually had KPOC? At least 2 years. Okay. Subchapter T, passenger vessels, under 100 gross ton, carrying 149 passengers. You got a bunch of boats out here in the harbor. You got some in Annapolis. You got a lot on the eastern shore. And you guys don't do any kind of inspected vessels. Awesome. You know, until you get into it, it's going to be foreign. It's just like until you were taught how to do the jobs that you guys do. And from what I've heard during the discussion, you guys are very particular about how you approach your customers, your clientele, your vessels that you inspect. And I would understand you guys being able to approach the regs with the same professionalism. Understand the regs. Understand what ABYC as well as ABS, which is involved in inspected vessels, are requiring so you can bring that knowledge to the owners of these boats. Yes, sir.
Okay, well, when we first started surveying, brokers or customers would call us.
Yeah.
So we started doing them. How do you, after you do all your study and learn this trade, how do you go about getting to inspect all this
stuff? Well,
the contact those cards?
No, what you do is you go to these operators. You know, I know a lot of operators that have gone into business. They got the COI. But they don't know how to maintain the vessel to the current regs. And that's all that you're doing. You're coming in once a month. Maybe take a retainer. I'll come in. I'll keep an eye out for you. And you come up with a preventive maintenance program to make sure that things are being maintained. Like your battery checks. How to do the battery checks. What intervals do you actually physically take the batteries off the charger? Duration for that to be off the charger. Do your check. Or just check the fluid levels and if it's a wet battery. Do your air filters, oil filters, fuel filters for the machinery. If you come up with some kind of preventive maintenance program for them and say, look, I'm not just here to bust your balls. I'm out here to help you maintain your investment. Sad story. I used to have a mobile sandblasting company. And in an hour and a half of me sandblasting this boat, this man lost his business, his livelihood, and his home. Because he bought a skipper craft. And skipper craft was used in fresh water. It's not built to ABS specs. There was a waiver for that boat. It was then brought to Jacksonville, which is a brackish, more saltwater environment, and it started to pit. The hull thickness, again, when it was built, was less than what Coast Guard required, but they had the waiver. And then it started to pit, which means any pit they had to renew the metal in that one area. Well, that one area was about 40. And the repair was going to cost them about $10,000-$15,000 in just welding. And he lost his business because of it. Now, if someone had said, this is not the boat for you to invest your livelihood, your house, your marriage, everything into, because if you have a problem, there's no fail safe, there's no safety net. How do you do this? You advertise. How do you get into it? You go to existing places that you look at the boat and go, ooh, they need help. And each one of you are trained by eye to go, oh yeah, next customer. Because you guys have the ability to walk up to a boat and go, this guy knows what he's doing. No, he doesn't. So that's how you get your business, walk the docks. And once you start doing this, people are going to come to you from word of mouth. Again, subchapter K, passenger vessel, 150 passengers, warm water, under 100 gross ton. Then you have subchapter H, which is more than 100 gross ton, carrying whatever passenger is certified. It could be 1,000, 1,200 people. It just depends. So chapter M, need to read this one to you. Pardon me for the slight break. All right. So chapter M, and this is right out of the regs. And this pertains to us currently this year. Certificate of inspection phase in period, meaning they're bringing in something new. We found out that if you bring something new into the industry that has been going along just fine, that wasn't broke prior to they fixing it now, they may not be aware of the new changes. So all owners or managing operators of more than one existing towing vessel requires to have a COI. By this subchapter, must ensure that each existing towing vessel under their ownership or control is issued a valid COI. COI basically stands for Certificate of Inspection, according to the following schedule. Now, in that one little paragraph, basically says more than one. And you'll understand why in a second. Number one, by July 22nd, 2019, that's this year, that's coming up in 5 months, 6 months, sorry, at least 25% of the towing vessels must have a valid COI on board. What does that mean? Well, if you have four boats, one of them have to have a COI by July of this year. If they have more boats, you have to calculate 25%. And if it goes into another boat, two boats would then need to be certified. Number two, by July 20, 2020, at least 50% of the towing vessels must have a valid COI. And it goes on down to 2021, 75%, and then 2022, 100%. So by the time we hit July 19 of 2022, all towing vessels are going to be mandatory to have a COI, that's 26 foot and larger. Does not include the smaller boats. What's that?
There's going to be a lot of smaller boats out there.
It's just large enough for the engine, okay? Strap it alongside the barge, we'll go ahead. Okay, paragraph B, all owners or managing operators of only one existing towing vessel required to have a COI by this subchapter must ensure the vessel has on board valid COI by July 20th of 2020. So they got a year and a half to do it. if they only have one. And then it goes into a new towing vessel must obtain a COI before it enters service.
Is that 26 and under, over?
Over. Okay. Everything's 26 footer and over.
So 25 foot boat does not need a COI.
That's correct. Now, how do you get your clientele? Mm-hmm. You make a letter, address it to all of the shipping, all the tug companies, and say, hey, did you know about the new regs? And go fishing. Send it out. See who's going to come back and say, tell me more. Read the regs. They're online. They're free. Or at least this one service that I have is free. Now, when I was trying to get that casino boat ready, one sticking factor was we had a manager who was supposedly above me that was supposed to be writing out my security plan. And Coast Guard said, hey, what about your security plan? And as I said, I had to earn their respect daily. And the lieutenant commander in charge of our project says, Bill, come here. I need you to read this. I'll be back. Oh, I was going to say ABYC. You guys already know that, ABS. Okay, I just took it from the website. Anyway, you already know what ABYC does, right? Okay, American Bureau of Shipping. They set standards, classifications, things of that nature. Again, I got this off of Wikipedia. Just trying to give the appropriate footnotes for this. During the time we were getting or needing our security plan going, there was a provision under CFR 33, Part 101.125. And it literally gives you these three societies, organizations that had pre-approval or pre-approved security plans that took care of your facility, your dock, and your vessel. The three things that was needed because it was so horribly written, the regs for security, nobody could figure it out. But these three took care of it. And letter C is awesome. You should write this information down because Passenger Vessel Association is for small group of individuals, the mom and pop shops, that needed to have this. And he wasn't supposed to tell me it was in the regs, but he was kind enough to give it to me. So I called up, and our manager was going to sell our company for $20,000 security plan. I called him up the next day, actually that day. I was like, I understand you have pre-approved security plans for anybody who's part of or who's a member of your organization. They said, yes. I said, how much is the membership? And they said, I want to say about $1,250. And I was like, excuse me? I said, I'm going to call you back. Hang on. So I called my boss and said, I would like to have a security plan in hand by tomorrow. He goes, how much? I said, what would you say for about $10,000? He goes, I'm reaching in my pocket right now. I said, okay, great. All I need is $1,250. And he goes, you can just hear the dead silence. Like, what? I said, you need to call these people because you have all the information. You have the credit card. And you can have them send it to you FedEx overnight. And you know he did. We literally had it the next day. And then the Coast Guard asked us to do a vessel-specific security plan or where we are lacking in certain areas. We took care of that. We were ready to sail when we got our COI. This has been revised. I've been trying to get a hold of the Passenger Vessel Association for the last week, and I haven't been able to do that. I wasn't really planning to give a speech. I was planning to be in your position for the whole seminar, but Randy asked me to give a talk on inspected vessels. Actually, you wanted to do maintenance. I kind of said that was kind of boring. And you guys know about maintenance, at least I hope you do. But anyway, this is what I'm trying to bring to you guys, because if you're the professional that are out in the field who knows ABYC, who should be reading the regs, stay on top of things, read the NAVICs when they come out. NAVICs is just basically what a CFR is, what's coming up, what's pertaining. You guys can build your business to a place maybe that you need somebody. Of course, in our business, it's kind of nice to work alone because you don't have to rely on somebody else's expertise or lack of it to get you in trouble. Because I know I can do that myself. But if you want to build your business, you want to expand your business, you want to do something a little bit different and maybe be able to encourage a larger paycheck, these things should help you. The security plans now are a lot easier to understand, to build from scratch. They really are. You just have to sit down, pen and paper. It's like, okay, what pertains to this vessel, this dock, this facility? And you put it all in one, you know, 10-page paper, and you give it to the Cognizance Coast Guard, and they will approve it or ask you to revise it, and then you'll get your approval. Are there any questions?
I just got a quick comment. I was down at the SAMD meeting in Virginia Beach earlier this fall, and they had a Coast Guard representative there talking about sub-M components. He was talking specifically about safety procedures mm-hmm. on the boat, being a component of that. And the Coast Guard doesn't do any of those inspections. It's all up to third-party outfits to get on board and do the inspections. And they're, like, so far behind. It's, like, 2% have been completed.
So maybe putting cash in your pocket is not that far out of the, the realm of things.
Yeah.
And if you are a member of the SAMS, IIMS, and you know what you're doing, you're probably a shoo-in to be approved with the Coast Guard local inspections area.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
The difference between the inspection and what you did years ago was ASAP. Basically the same idea.
I can't answer that. I'm not sure. I'm going to be honest. I hate saying I don't know, but I don't know. I can't give you that much of an input. All I know is I saw this coming up. I was like, this is a pretty good shot in the arm for someone who wants to increase their monetary situation by actually helping out other companies. I would also suggest strongly about what is going to be required now in the subchapter M vessel of certain sizes. Your safety equipment changes, your training and recording changes, your bunkering changes, bunkering and fuel changes, everything changes on how they used to do it. And I'm quite sure there's going to be somebody in the wheelhouse going, I've been doing this for the last 40 years, I know what I'm doing. Which is not the question. This is like, are you compliant? And that's what your response should be. We're not a question, can you do it? It's like, are you going to be compliant? That's it.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you.
Michael, try here for a moment.